Between 75 and 80% of patients who are admitted for detox and alcohol and drug abuse treatment will relapse. Another study by Peniston and Kolkowski on the effects of neurofeedback training with veterans who had dual diagnoses of alcoholism and PTSD focused on this problem. 15 veterans received alpha-theta training, while the control group received standard treatment without neurofeedback. The subjects were followed up regularly for 3 years, during which 8 members of the neurofeedback group stopped drinking completely, and one got drunk once, but became sick and didn't drink again. Most of them were markedly less depressed. As Peniston put it, the changes reported corresponded to being more warm-hearted, more intelligent, more emotionally stable, more socially bold, more relaxed, and more satisfied. In contrast, all of those given standard treatment were readmitted to the hospital within 18 months. Since that time, a number of studies on neurofeedback for addictions have been published. But this important application needs much more research to establish its potential and limitations. The future of neurofeedback. In my practice, I use neurofeedback primarily to help with the hyperarousal, confusion, and concentration problems of people who suffer from developmental trauma. However, it has also shown good results for numerous issues and conditions that go beyond the scope of this book, including relieving tension headaches, improving cognitive functioning following a traumatic brain injury, reducing anxiety and panic attacks, learning to deepen meditation states, treating autism, improving seizure control, self-regulation in mood disorders, and more. As of 2013, neurofeedback is being used in 17 military and VA facilities to treat PTSD. The scientific documentation of its efficacy in recent combat vets is just beginning to be assessed. Frank Duffy, the director of the Clinical Neurophysiology and the Developmental Neurophysiology Laboratories of Boston Children's Hospital, has commented, "The literature, which lacks any negative study, suggests that neurofeedback plays a major therapeutic role in many different areas. In my opinion, if any medication had demonstrated such a wide spectrum of efficacy, it would be universally accepted and widely used." Many questions remain to be answered about treatment protocols for neurofeedback, but the scientific paradigm is gradually shifting in a direction that invites a deeper exploration of these questions. In 2010, Thomas Insull, director of the National Institute of Mental Health, published an article in Scientific American entitled "Faulty Circuits," in which he called for a return to understanding mind and brain in terms of rhythms and patterns of electrical communication. He wrote, "Brain regions that function together to carry out normal and abnormal mental operations can be thought of as analogous to electrical circuits. The latest research shows that the malfunctioning of entire circuits may underlie many mental disorders." 3 years later, Insull announced that NIMH was reorienting its research away from DSM categories and focusing instead on disorders of the human connectome.